Thanks, Dawn. Okay. All right. So good evening, everybody. This is the Environmental Advisory Council. I am Laura Kahn, the chair. And why doesn't everybody introduce him or herself? Since I don't know everybody who's here. We'll start with you, Dawn.
Hi everyone, Dawn Henning, Engineering Department, Health Staff, the Commission, Council.
Jacob Robison.
Jacob Robison, I'm a Senior Projects Manager with the City Plan Department.
Catherine Lamar.
I'm Catherine Lamar, I'm Deputy Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven, responsible for transactions and policy.
Kathy Fay.
Oh, hi, I'm Kathy Fay. I'm the Secretary of the Environmental Advisory Council.
Jeannie DeBino.
Hi, I'm Jeannie DeBino. I am a citizen of New Haven. I'm interested in many environmental issues, especially the use of pesticides and leaf blowers.
Chris Ozick. You're muted.
Sorry. Chris Ozick, Urban Resource Initiative, General Nosy Body Environmentalist.
Eugene Connolly.
I've lived in New Haven for 8 years. I've always been interested in saving open space, and that's close to the environment, which is the major interest of the Environmental Advisory Council. Nice to watch you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, everybody. Mary?
I'm Mary Woolsey. I'm interested in environmental issues, and I live in New Haven.
Bonnie?
I'm Bonnie Hull. I live in Westville, and I've lived here for over 40 years, and I'm interested in leaf blower noise, particularly.
Great. Glad to have you. Aaron Good.
Hi, Aaron Good. I'm with the New Haven Bioregional Group and the Greater New Haven Green Fund and resident of Fairhaven Heights.
Okay, welcome everybody. So as I said before, for anyone who didn't hear, we do not have a quorum this evening because we have had two resignations. Kevin McCarthy, who has been the vice president of the Environmental Advisory Council since we got going in late 2016. He is going on to other volunteer opportunities, and we thank him very much for his service. He was a legislative aide to the state legislature and helped write a lot of laws. So, and he is trained as a city planner. So he's been very helpful and will continue to be. And I think he takes a particular interest in some energy issues and a lot of other things too. And we hope to continue to hear from Kevin. And our other resignation was from our member, Kristen Gorton, who is going back to Florida, where she is from, to go to graduate school and get a PhD, I think, in biology. So biology and environmental science. Sorry, I do not have all my notes in front of me. I've been very crazed today. But anyway, we so appreciate Kristen giving some of her young life to us. She has been instrumental in keeping track of issues to do with parks, green space, trees, and such things for us. And we thank her very much for her service. And I don't know how we're going to replace her, but we're going to try. So we will have to hold elections when we have, hopefully we will have a new member appointed soon. We will have to hold elections in May for new officers because we've lost our vice president. And we will consider other things soon. So if anybody here who is not a city employee is interested in serving on the Environmental Advisory Council and is not already serving on another city board or commission, because you can only serve on one at a time, please feel free to apply. And if you know anybody who's interested, please ask them to contact me, because we do need some new faces, because we need to have a quorum. Otherwise, we can't do much. Well, we can still do a lot of things, but it's better if we have at least five people on our council, and we like to have one or two extras in case anybody's ever unavailable to come to a meeting. So so Iris Kaminsky, one of our members, is away in Israel visiting her elderly mother, and Florestine Taylor, another one of our members, is away. Her sister passed, and we send her condolences. And each of them is working on various things. They will be back. We will not meet next month because I think we all need a month off to work on some of the stuff we do instead of meet. So we will meet on June the 1st, and we will hope everybody's back. We will have elections. We will do all sorts of necessary things. And let's see. We also bid farewell to City Plan Director Aisha Woods and Planner Jamie Stein and Planner Maya Vardy. Aisha Woods and Jamie Stein were very helpful to us, and Maya Vardy was helpful in less specifically, but also very cooperative with us. And Jacob, we're very delighted you have come in to help us since they are gone. Thank you. Okay, so the Regional Water Authority told me that they are going to have a rain barrel sale, and they are going to, the sale opens April 22nd and closes May 22nd. The barrels will be sold at cost. They are being, well, RWA is partnering with Rain Water Solutions. I don't know what that partnering means, but it means you'll get inexpensive rain barrels, which Iris asked about. And the sale will be live, and the sale will be live April 22nd. There will be a link on the RWA website, which is, I'll put it in the chat if I can figure out where it is. Oh, I think we've been joined by Anstris Farwell. Anstris, you want to just say hello?
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And Jeffrey Alpert, Anstris, do you want to say what organization you're with, just so everybody will know?
New Haven Urban Design League.
Thank you. And Jeffrey Alpert, would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. Oh, Aaron Good is letting us know that the bioregional group gives out rain barrels free. So there are now two options for getting rain barrels. I hope everybody who wants one or two can get them. And they also provide insulation training. Fantastic. I think Kathy does that too, right? Through Neighborhood Housing Services once in a while.
That's pretty much bioregional group that's managing. Yeah, we've done some workshops on that, but rain barrels is at this point pretty much bioregional group is taking that on, and we're doing more with rain gardens.
Ah, okay, great. All right,
quick question: how do I apply for a rain barrel?
Let's see.
Laura, I put the Regional Water Authority's email address in the chat.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And if you want a free one from a bioregional group, I guess you have to contact them.
I think with the bioregional group, they do that in the summertime, and they give workshops on how to put the plumbing onto the rain barrels. So it's a kind of a DIY process. I'm not sure that they're open for business yet this season.
Thank you.
And Aaron is part of the bioregional group. There you go. Now it's in now the link's in the chat.
Okay, great. So let's see. So Jeffrey Alper, do you have anything, any words of interest we might want to hear about who you represent, or are you just a community member at large and here for the
New Haven Scholarship Fund?
New Haven Scholarship Fund. Okay, great.
I taught in the city of New Haven for 37 years at the Sound School, and I'm the fourth generation New Havener.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we will go on to committee reports. So we will start with noise, because that's been a very active committee lately. I don't know how many of you attended, but there was a Quiet Communities Noise Reduction Forum on Zoom on March 15th for 2 hours, and 200 people attended that forum from all over the country, and at least one person from Canada and one person from the UK. And it was fascinating how many people are concerned about noise issues. And if they send us a link to that forum, we'll share it. But it was sobering, let us just say. And I guess the other big noise issue we've been dealing with is leaf blowers, and maybe we'll discuss that in a few minutes, because we did have a big hearing about leaf blowers. Let's see, we will go on to lawn chemicals. So it's pesticide application season, unfortunately, and True Green sprayed Barricade with Prodiamin, which is banned for sale to consumers in New York on lawns all over Westville. I don't know if they did all over the rest of New Haven, because I haven't been out that much to see those little yellow pesticide application flags. But I got some notification calls from True Green, because I'm on the abutters list. And so they told me the chemical they were applying, and I assume they applied the same product to all the lawns, because they were not going to go back to their headquarters and fill the tanks with something different. When they do it, they do it. And it's just distressing how many people had that stuff sprayed on their lawns. I've been going around from house to house where we've noticed pesticide application flags, and handing and leaving copies of the EAC letter warning people about pesticides, well, giving people facts about pesticides, and copies of the PowerPoint slides shown to us by state epidemiologist Meg Harvey last spring. Her presentation was about avoiding pesticides and on lawns and gardens. So I hope people will take note and think twice before they let True Green and other companies continue spraying. I noticed that Greater New Haven Lawn Care did some spraying, and I guess I have to call them and ask them what they sprayed. And Pitch Pine did some spraying on at least one lawn. And my suggestion to everybody who sees those little yellow signs is phone these companies and ask them what they sprayed, and we will compile a list, because it's amazing how many of these chemicals are being sprayed all over us. And I'm sure the golf courses have done it too. They have different pesticide notification regulations. They do not have to notify any of their neighbors. They just have to post signs on their golf courses, so the neighbors have no idea what they might be spraying, which is really unfortunate. Well, we will discuss more of that with the state bill that we're working on. And I think that's what I have to say about that. And anyway, let's try and nip the pesticide applications in the bud. For turf, Anstruth Farwell sent me a link to an article that was from today about the Maryland state legislature considering a bill to monitor synthetic turf waste from from playing fields that have their plastic needles, plastic grass rolled up and sent to landfills. Hello, Rafael.
Hi.
Rafael Ramos has joined us. And I will try and post that in the chat when I get a chance. And anyway, it's about time somebody decided to monitor the situation of the turf waste. And of course, there's a lot of flack coming from the industry that doesn't want their products monitored, but we really need to keep track of these huge carpets of plastic that are rolled up and sent to landfills, and they off-gas and they can catch fire when it's hot. And these carpets of needles, of plastic needles, do not last long. And while they're in place, the little needles can break off and stick into people's skin and cause them illnesses because they can wander around your body. And it causes a lot of illness. And the fields themselves, while they're in place, off gas and are not good for any athletes. And we need to get rid of them. So, Anstruth has posted the link to that article in the chat. So Rafael, I think you came in the middle of this. I was telling everyone that Maryland has taken up a bill to monitor synthetic turf waste. And so New Haven should do that too. Yale has at least 6 turf fields. At least 2 of them have been replaced once. And it's not, synthetic turf is 4 layers of plastic that heats up and causes injuries, and it's 18 inches of soil that was removed on acres and acres of land, soil that is Earth's filter and protects us and protects athletes. And the playing surface from AstroTurf is much harder and causes much more injuries to people who use it. So doesn't yes. Artificial turf does contain PFAS. Mary, you are correct. Okay, I think that's what I have to say about that. All right, transportation. I know there's an e-bike bill going through the Connecticut General Assembly. People are advocating for that a week from next Wednesday, I think, if anybody's interested in that. I haven't had an update from Iris about water. I still have to write a letter. Oh, well, Floristine was in contact or is working on getting in contact with the community builders about the future playground on Garden and Chapel Streets to make sure that, to try to convince them not to chop down all the trees and to try and make sure they do not put an artificial turf or asphalt surface on the playground part of it, because that's really not good for anyone. Okay, here we go. Anstruth reports the best source of information and updates is Nancy Alderman's group, Environmental Health and Human, I forgot what it is, but anyway, there you go. It's in the chat, so you can look at it there. Okay, Kathy, what do you have to say about energy besides stuff that's going through the Connecticut General Assembly? We'll discuss the bills, the assembly bills, in a minute.
Oh, okay. I apologize to everybody if I'm looking here and there. It's because I have the bills on a different screen. But I don't have to talk to you about bills right now. So this is kind of a heads up from our neighbors in Camden, that their equivalent to the EAC is interested in seeing a turbine installed with the Whitney Dam restoration. And they're kind of curious about whether we might be supportive of that and stand with them on that. I'm not quite sure how much electricity that might produce and what it could be used for, but in any case, that's what Hamden is up to on our border. And then I guess in other energy news, Pura has one docket open that I've been following and actually, engaged with it about performance-based regulation of utilities. And for those of you who are curious what that means, it's, we have investor-owned utilities, electric utilities in Connecticut, and they operate on a traditional model that's 100 years old when we really needed to expand and get electrification to all the homes and spread it out. And so it was all about building infrastructure. And now we have really different goals. We have equity goals and concerns. We have technology goals and concerns, and moving to cleaner energy sources. And how do we, and we have climate goals in the state. So the performance-based regulation docket with PURA is going to be going on all year this year for its first phase and then through next year. And basically, it's an opportunity to incentivize the things that are important to us now. So the next session on that is not going to be for a while, since there just was one yesterday. But I'm happy to keep folks in the loop if that's something that people are interested in. And then there's another docket that's about to open that's pretty exciting, in that it's about a low-income electric, establishing a different rate structure for low-income residents who bear the brunt of Connecticut's energy burdens. So in any case, that's what's going on that's not legislation in the energy world.
Thank you. Anything we should be doing toward that PURA docket, or you're just monitoring it for us?
Well, I'm monitoring it, but I'm happy. They put out really nice introductory paper on what they're planning to do and over the net, what they're looking into, how they are planning the upcoming sessions, the topics. And I can attach that and send that. There's also slides. And I think they even recorded the session yesterday, but it's hours and hours long. So, but there's slides. Besides the discussion and and this initial staff report from from PURA, it all covers the same stuff. So you can get it, and I'll send it out with with all those different formats for whatever people prefer.
Thank you.
This is a really, really unique opportunity.
Mary Woolsey writes, PURA is encouraging public comment. So And we've been joined by City Engineer Giovanni Zinn. Welcome, Giovanni. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I was a few minutes late.
More than a
few minutes late. Sorry about that.
Someone just sent Dawn and me a video from a phone number. I don't know what it is, but anyway, if it's somebody here who sent us something that we, Chris, you did?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, sorry. That was just for your information. I'm typing up something. That's Wheeler Street when we get to it.
Great. Okay. All right. Any other? Thank you. Yes, we're getting there very soon. I don't think we have any other committee reports at the moment, unless there's something I don't know about. We will go on to pending city issues, the first of which is English Station remediation. So I am happy to report that following several discussions with several people. We've gotten United Illuminating to update the English Station Remediation web page with a monthly progress report. And anybody can now go and look to see what they did, what they submitted at the end of January and the end of February. It took me and some other people a lot of work to get that to happen. So don't think that these things are easily come by, but it is public information. You have the right to know. And I don't know if you can understand the information they post there, but I know somebody here is expert enough to understand parts of it. So yeah, I encourage everybody to go and look at that information, because you know, United Illuminating is a company we pay to do work. And so you might want to just see what they're up to. Okay, and now we will go to Wheeler Street. And Chris, why don't you tell us all about it?
I'm wondering if the city can, meaning public, you know, the city plan, I think it would be good for them to get the records from the transfer station as to when All American does their tipping there. So the video is of Monday morning at 5:50 in the morning for All American trucks dumping wet waste at our transfer station, which is they're allowed to do. But it shows that they operate before 6 o'clock, which is what their permit is. But it also shows you that they store wet waste, not only overnight, but over the weekend in their vehicles. And so, you know, this is regular practice by them. I think the neighborhood over there is contending with scavenging and rats. I'm hoping that when this gets a hearing, that we'll be able to get some better oversight and some better regulation of them. I'm hopeful that we can also get signage that's posted facing the neighborhood of who to call for both the state, the city, and the facility for both English and Spanish to be able to lodge complaints that people have from this facility, and also if they want to do it anonymously, that there's a pathway for that.
All good points. Thank you very much, Chris. You know, currently all complaints that are lodged are given directly to English Station to deal with themselves. And they are not kept in a comprehensive log by DEP to be considered when they're considering the application. And since the only inspection happens, what did they say, once every 5 years before their permit renewal? And they know when the inspection's going to happen, even though we ask for them to have an unannounced inspection. There's just, it seems like all bets are off as to how we make these people comply with laws and be good citizens. That's my take on the situation. And I wonder, did anybody attending this meeting happen to phone that telephone number and talk to the person who was listed for the environmental work on the site? Giovanni or Dawn, do you know anything about that? No.
I do not, unfortunately. No, sorry.
Okay. Well, Chris and I each independently saw a sign posted on the front fence of that site that environmental cleanup was going on. And I didn't want to call the person who was listed on the sign without knowing that five other people hadn't called, but now I will make a point of calling him since I think it's very important. Anstris, you have your hand raised.
wanted a clarification. You're talking about Wheeler Street, but when you started your dialogue on this, you actually said English Station.
I'm sorry. I'm very confused today. Confused. I apologize. I am talking about Wheeler Street.
The number and the environmental cleanup you're mentioning is Wheeler Street, not English Station.
You're correct. That's all of this is Wheeler Street. I'm sorry. Okay. So I'll call the guy if that's okay with everyone. I won't understand what he says, but I'll call him.
Chris, have you seen anything about a permit with, I'm assuming not the city or else we would have heard, but what would the environmental...
No, they have a permit with DEP.
So, but is it for cleanup or is it operations? Laura seems to be suggesting the
permit. Yeah, so it's for cleanup, but I would encourage So I would encourage people to call, and just the person is very nice to talk to, and you'll be surprised at what they're doing over there.
Oh, so you did talk to him.
But I encourage other people to call too.
Okay, but you know what? We're all doing a lot of things, so it's good if we can all share information, because I really don't have time to do everything. And so I'm glad you did it.
Right. So they, you know, they make sure they get your name and information so they can relay it back to the operators. They, you know, they're basically doing cleanup from their construction of the gas facility. And somewhere on that site, there's a large pile of contaminated soil, which I have no idea where that is. And then they also have had some spills that they need to excavate and clean up. Anyways, you know, they're doing a bunch of work over there.
So great. You could provide the phone number. That's a long walk for me to find a phone number. If you do that, I would be glad to make that kind of call. Thanks.
Thank you. So I think the contaminated soil is in that spot right behind the fence to the right of the driveway, I think. Because I think there was a bigger pile of soil there before, and they've been working on digging around in that pile for some time. But I would not swear to that. Anyway, Chris, if you give Anstris the number, she will call. Otherwise, Anstris, remind me and I will get the photo I took with my phone and see if I can decipher the information for you. Okay, so the other thing about the Wheeler Street Transfer Station is that they have a special permit renewal coming up in front of the City Plan Commission, and it seems to have been postponed a couple of times. Anstris, do you have any new information about when that public hearing will be?
No, I haven't heard from the city, and I don't know if Jacob has any news. It was almost going to be on, I think, the 12th. Well, that's today. And then they realized that it was unlikely that enough members of the public could actually be there. So they are trying to find actually two dates, because they want to make sure that both... the city consultant, the applicant, and members of the public have ample opportunity to offer testimony. And they're guessing it'll take two meetings that are devoted just to this. So, and they need to find two dates that would be before May 12th. And so the last I heard, that was what city staff were trying to do, was to establish two dates that would work and avoid all of the religious holidays and other scheduled meetings that city staff had to be at.
Thank you.
I believe there was a discussion in public at the last time of exactly the nature that Answers is covering, and I believe they are still working on figuring out a date, but I would imagine it's towards the end of the month is what things seem to be tracking.
Okay, thanks, Giovanni. So I see that Aaron has posted news that an inspector from the city visited 19 Wheeler Street on March 4th, said they found no evidence of scavenging and closed the C-Click-Fix ticket on the issue. So, Chris, all I can say is suggest that the neighbors keep posting notices on C-Click complaints or whatever notices on C-Click-Fix if they see things. And it has been suggested that people get documentary evidence, video evidence, photos, video, when they see this stuff to present, because, you know, it only occurs, if it occurs when you see it, and then the city announces it's going to visit Wheeler Street, I guess they clean up. Kathy?
You're muted. Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm just curious about the video that Chris took and whether whether he's shared it with people at Deep or with the city. I mean, obviously he just shared it with you and Dawn just now, but I'm curious about whether it's gone any further than that yet.
No, there was no follow-up on any of the videos. It's very easy to see days where there's scavenging and days where there's not, by just going over to Fairhaven Woodworks and looking across the river. Any of the points across the river, you can see the seagulls going in, and the seagulls are going in on the left side, not the right side. Right side is the recycling, left side is trash. And, so there are days where there are no seagulls, because there's no food there. But then there are days where there are lots. And I take pictures and I send them along. But then, you know, the days that an inspector might show up, there's no activity. But the trash is stored there overnight. And those aren't rat-proof trucks.
Okay, thank you. Raphael, I noticed you had your...
Yeah, so it would be helpful on, because there's one thing about their permitting and what they're using or doing, and there's another thing about what we can cite them for not doing, right? Such as allowing for rodent infestation and those kind of things, right? Or get them to exterminate. It would be helpful if we can, and we would not share the names or anything or addresses, but if we can have an inspector go to those actual residential properties that are being impacted by rodents. That would be helpful. For us right now, it's a big mystery. They're saying, yeah, there's rodents there, but when we go, we'll walk the perimeter and, you know, we'll walk on this side of the fence, that side of the fence. But it would be helpful if we can get some actual property addresses where we can pinpoint some problems. Just right now, it's up in the air when we get there, what we're going to see or what we're going to find. Of course, we don't control their operation, but we do control any nuisances that might be emanating from that facility. So if we can get some property owners, we're not going to share the names. We're not going to say, hey, Wheeler, you know, it was this property or that property. We just want to be able to document the problem.
Thank you. And I assume some of the properties are rental properties, so you wouldn't need to know which residents at the properties if they're apartments.
Right. And right. And I don't know what the makeup is, whether they're rental or you know, owners, but it would be great to have the addresses so that we can see, or even if it's not on their directly on their property, but off the property, you want to be able to see and document issues.
Yes. Good idea. Thank you. I've noticed our aldermanic representative, Alder Steve Winter, has joined us. Welcome, Steve. Good to see you. So, okay, well, we are going to continue to try and get a list of issues at this property. I do have to tell you that at the DEP hearing and at the city hearing, the CSEP hearing, a lot of people testified. Chris had a whole list of neighbors who on video who testified about problems with rodents and noise and lights and other things at hours when, well, the lights and noise at hours when they shouldn't be there. And I don't know how many times people can speak up about these things without somebody doing something. They already took some of their time to document this information and bring it to a public forum. And it just gets a little bit difficult when the burden is on the people suffering the problem to keep coming back again and again and again after they have brought the problem to the city and the state.
Right. So, and I agree with you on that. But what I'm saying is that it would be very helpful to us to help make a case for the people if we can have more sort of solid evidence of rodent infestation
Noted. You need specific addresses. Right. Sorry, Chris and then Kathy.
Yeah.
Chris, are you still with us? Well, let's go to Kathy first and then we'll come back to Chris.
Sorry about that. I had a technical issue.
We can't really hear you. You're having technical issues. You must be in a dark zone. So Kathy, how about if you go ahead and then Chris, if you can find a place where you can talk to us. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I'm just wondering if you have those, if you have those addresses or residents' names or something, would you be planning to send or to have someone call them, someone from your department call them? Or do you just want the actual addresses?
Well, we are here to serve the residents in this case. So if we can make contact with the residents where they could show us the burrows, the rodent burrows, or they can show us strong evidence of these violations, we can be helpful in reporting to the DEP what we see and those kind of things. But we can't arbitrarily, just because someone said something, we have to be able to see. I've sent an inspector out there twice. They've walked the inside and outside when they get there. And then it's not like we're announcing, hey, we're coming today. They're going, and when they get there, they're not finding the violations. But we're not saying that the violations don't exist or that there is no problem. We just need to document it better.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So anybody can look from the other side of the river. Go to Fairhaven Woodworks, look across. You can see the seagulls when they're scavenging. Where they're scavenging, that's not allowed. And an inspector could see that and go over there immediately on that day.
Right.
So that's a very simple point. Anybody can see this from the Ferry Street Bridge, from wherever. There are days where they're there, where they're not. I can tell you that when I went around last year and talked to all these people, they were embarrassed that at first they didn't want to say something. And when I told them that other people had the same problem, they then talked about it. And some of the people were willing to be on video and many of them weren't. And then people also are concerned that if they have a rat problem, that the city's going to make life hard for them or for their tenants or whatever that is. But they're also afraid of this entity. And so people told me that they don't want to speak out against that entity for fear of retribution. And then there was about a third of the population that I couldn't speak to because I don't speak Spanish. And so I'm asking, why is the city not going around, since we've already done these videos and you know that there's an actor there that has some problems, if you go around with a kind heart, knock on the doors and ask people if they're experiencing any of these things, such as noise, smell, and rats, and don't put the blame on them, but ask them where they think it's coming from, I think that would be a helpful public service.
We will, well, in terms of enforcement, we will look into that, but it still, it would be helpful if you can direct us more directly where, because we really just, I just can't go knock on the
door. So me as a private citizen has to go into a neighborhood that's not mine and go knock on doors and drum up business so that you can do your job.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Chris. What I'm saying, Chris, is you that have the information, you can say, Raphael, this is who you need to go talk to because that's who I talk to. Rather than just send me out there arbitrarily knocking on doors. You already have
the
information, right? You already have the information.
I'll send you the videos again. There's five houses that directly overlook this site with no screening.
Okay.
And, you know, so I can go, I went around last year a couple times and talked to these folks. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't want to put them out or put them in an uncomfortable position. This is where I see my fellow brother contending with something and I'm trying to help them and not stick them out.
Okay. And I will not stick them out either, but I need to know who they are. I won't stick them out. I'm not going to call the company and say, these are the people complaining. And I just need to get some, you know, we need to see the conditions. And like I said, we send the inspector on the property, around the property. They haven't found anything. Okay, so we'll reach out to the residents. Just give us some more direction rather than being.
And the alder had talked to residents there also and had confirmed this and expressed that at the public meeting.
Okay, so I think we know, we have, thank you, Chris. We have our marching orders. I will go back there and write down all the addresses again of the properties where I stood outside the homes and smelled odors, and I will give them to you. And Anstris writes, yes, it is hard for all of us to keep coming back to public hearings, but it is important to recognize that this is more than a year since the deep hearing on expansion, and this is a different hearing about renewal, and it is under the city's purview. So as much as the issues about this operator are the same, current testimony is necessary. I understand that, Anstris, and we will do that. But it would also be helpful if we could have the city inspectors working with us to help us try and alleviate the problems. And I know you understand that, Raphael, and we really appreciate your having gone there at all to try and help. Thank you.
I think Raphael's a fantastic person and a public servant, and I'm sorry that I got a little testy.
Oh, no, Chris.
All right.
Chris, it's the job. And I would be negligent of my job if I can't hear even criticism. It's fine. We want to reach out. We want to be, we want to help. Our first responsibility is to those neighbors and those families that live around that we just need to have. When we do take action, we want to make sure that we cross all our T's and dot all our I's, right? So that.
Yes. No, I hear you.
Okay. All right.
I feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I feel uncomfortable trying to get these people to put their neck out for something that I feel passionately about.
Got it.
Because I see the impact and it feels uncomfortable. That's all.
Okay. I think we've now heard a lot of perspectives about this very important issue. And Jacob, in case you're wondering, this issue is one of the big reasons we asked the city plan department for a coastal evaluation and comprehensive plan. So now you know this is not just an abstract issue for us. It is about such things as a recycling, a privately owned recycling facility that's next to the water, that's grandfathered into its current location, which is closer to residences than it would otherwise be allowed and would not be permitted by current law. So just so we're clear. All right, we are going on to some other topics. Bird safe buildings, we're awaiting text revision from the city plan department, and Kevin McCarthy, who was taking an interest in this, said he met with the new city plan director, Laura Brown, and that this is not a priority for the city right this second. It was brought up by Yale Law School employee Viveka Morris. And so I guess she sent a list of specs that Yale has adopted for new buildings and hopes that the city will adopt them too. And I hope at some point when the city plan department gets around to it, they will work on that, because we have noticed some very large glass walled buildings that are killing a lot of birds, and it's not good. So anyway, a lot of them are Yale buildings, but some are city buildings too. So yeah, thank you. When you get around to it, we'll appreciate that. All right, we're going on to the light pollution issue, which Eugene Connolly has been monitoring for us and trying to get anyone to pay attention to. So Gene lives in an apartment building downtown, and someone put a roof garden across the street from his building and installed a 50-foot by 1-foot strip light that they leave on at night. And Gene has been having a hard time getting anyone to address the problem. Gene, go ahead. You're muted.
Gene has been having a hard time getting off his stuff and getting out and really doing a good job.
Not true.
Thank you. It is frustrating because there isn't much talk about it. You don't see anything in the newspaper. And to most people, it seems harmless. And when I talked with a person who is in city government in this area, supposedly, that Laura found for me, I called him, and being sarcastic, saying, this is what I expect sometimes from the city, and I wish they didn't do that. The person I spoke to said, oh, I don't know who is in charge of that. So I apologize for seeming prejudiced, prejudiced and puzzled, because I've met the same thing when I'm looking at this wonderful little 0.7-acre park with 40 trees on Kensington Street. I had the same reaction, and the city parks department, parks and recreation, said, fine, go ahead, take it away for $1 for another purpose, which was good for affordable housing. But it wasn't good to take away a park, because then the next week you would read in the paper that we're having too many homicides. Well, where do you start? You don't start by throwing people in jail. You start by keeping the parks. So, not to say that I am a dispassionate person, but I am passionate. And I have not made any progress. When I talked to the manager, I think I'll try to make this, finish this in 1 minute, to talk to the manager of the building in which is new and has this roof garden with this light, which goes on every night, regardless of whether there is anybody using the roof garden area. And the light stays on pretty late. I can't say that I've stayed up until 1 in the morning just to see if it's still on. but I think it doesn't shut off until about then. And the manager said, no, we don't want to do anything about it. The other part, and I have 20 seconds left, don't I? It's hard to know how forceful to be in my plea to the town or to the management of that building, to the city or the manager of the building, when there are so many other places up high that I think I've heard kill birds, because when they are migrating, they become disoriented. That's true of the top four floors of the Alexion building. Technolutions at the Gold building on on Church Street at the corner of Wall. That has a sign much bigger. That's on all night long. So there are others when you look downtown, and I'm up high on the 17th floor at 100 York.
Okay.
And so I can see these. And I spoke to this one, and then I called this person who said, I'll try to find out who's in charge of that. I said, I'm just calling because I'm a goody-goody and I like to protect the birds and don't like light pollution, which I don't know much about, but I know it's not good. So that's my frustration, my lack of action, and my puzzle. And if anybody has a suggestion saying, Gene Connolly, just go talk to so-and-so or
okay,
to do well, something else.
I think we will consider this reported. It is a zoning issue and a health department issue, because it's light pollution and trespass, which is a health problem. And it's against city ordinance, I believe, since I worked on a committee for a year with Nate Hogren and a lot of other people and Alder Richard Furlow to update the light and sign ordinances. And if I go to a meeting once a month for a year and spend all my time and energy doing this and testify at public hearings, and then the ordinances aren't enforced, I feel like I am being used, I'm wasting my time, and it's very frustrating. So I hope somebody can help us. There was also someone from the Corporation Counsel's office, an intern who helped us with that. It was before you were with the Corporation Counsel's office, Catherine. So you are not to blame for any of this, but I hope any of the people here who work for the city can help solve this problem. I think at our last meeting, somebody posted the light and sign ordinance in the chat. Kathy will get them to you again, but it's in the Muni code. And may we leave it with the engineering department, the city plan department, the health department, and the Corporation Counsel's office to try and deal with this issue?
Laura, I made the suggestion to you via email to report this to Livable City Initiative, because that's something
that they take care of. Gene did that. And his neighborhood specialist, Arthur Natalino, said he'd get back to Gene.
Okay. Well, they make the final decision on those things. It's not, I don't believe it's within the other departments that are present here to make final decisions on those.
Okay. Thank you for the enlightenment.
Thanks for your comments. You're articulating well, and you're being concise. I mean, brief, better than I. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Let's see. Anstris is writing, would it be possible to check the site plan applications to see if these lights were part of an approved plan? Her guess is that the lights wouldn't have been part of an approved plan. So if somebody can check on the lights on 18 High Street and the Alexion sign and the, what did you say? The
Technolutions
sign. Because we did have a thing We had a whole issue about this because there was a big digital billboard somebody put up on Whaley Avenue, and we wanted to nip things like that in the bud. So let's try to see if we can work on that. Technolutions.
Thanks for tying it up.
You're welcome. All right. Let us go on to wrapping up, to talking about the leaf blower public hearing, which was on March the 3rd. I don't know how many of you attended that hearing. I know Steve Winter did. I know Jeannie DeBino did. I know Mary Woolsey did. I did. I couldn't tell if, and Kathy did. I couldn't tell if Don was there or Giovanni or Catherine. Aaron was there because he testified. Anyway, so after that meeting, at which a lot of people testified, everyone testified in favor of limiting leaf blowers except for one landscape company owner, and he is my neighbor. He lives up the street. His complaints were, one, that he only had 2 days notice about the public hearing, and he testified that it would interfere with his business. I can tell you that a couple of weeks ago, he was across the street from my house using 3 leaf blowers and not in a safe manner. He did not have proper eye protection. The 2 people with him did not have proper ear protection. And they were using 3 leaf blowers at once, which is against recommendations in the manuals. So he since filed a request with the Board of Alders and had the Connecticut Groundskeepers Association file a request for a public hearing about this very issue. So the Board of Alders has not yet assigned it to a committee. Alder Winter, do you know anything about the status of the leaf blower situation?
Thanks, Laura. The item that your neighbor filed remains unassigned. I know that there was interest from most of the committee at the hearing in moving ahead with drafting legislation. And I know that Attorney Lamar had an intern who had done a good amount of background research last year when we were discussing potential legislation. So my hopes that we can take that and take some of the things we learned from Washington, D.C. in the public hearing and draft something. And I think that in talking with Kevin McCarthy, it seems like the 2 essential elements, or maybe the essential element, would be putting a date after which the use would no longer be allowed. And then another important component, setting a date after an earlier date after which the city would stop procuring new gas leaf blowers. So you might say, look, we're going to end all use of leaf blowers in the city by, you know, the end of 2024, but we're going to tell the city to stop purchasing new leaf blowers at the end of this year or sometime next year. So I don't think it'd be terribly complicated, but I do think it'd be helpful for us to work with Corporation Counsel's office in the drafting phase rather than kicking something back and forth a lot.
Agreed. Okay, so I thought the Board of Alders was going to perhaps convene a committee to do this work.
So a couple of us have reached out to Corporation Counsel's office, and we're ready to get working on language.
Thank you. Okay. So if anybody who's at this meeting wants to help with that, please contact Alder Winter. And thank you, Catherine. We appreciate your working on this issue. Mary Woolsey, do you have anything to say about this?
I would be interested in working on to help draft something on behalf of the Quiet New Haven and other people who have been doing research and working on this issue for about a year now. So eager to move forward.
Thank you. Okay, Anstris has her hand up, and then we'll ask Bonnie what her take on the leaf blower situation is. Go ahead, Anstris.
Yeah, I saw that two letters from landscape companies were communicated to the Board of Alders, and there was just a few weeks ago, and there was some discussion that was going to be either a reopened hearing or a new hearing that would allow, because no companies showed up at the first hearing.
Yes, but that was Michael Frawley who submitted that letter, and he did testify at the first hearing. And the Connecticut Association of Groundskeepers, and I do not know how many New Haven businesses they represent. My guess is not too many, but I think we should find that out. And before letting them have a chance to speak in New Haven. And we did have several landscapers, at least we had two landscapers speak in favor of leaf blower changes. So one former landscaper and one current landscaper.
My question is more simple. Is there going to be another hearing?
It has not yet been assigned. Sorry, Steve, you were going to say something?
Yeah, that it hasn't been assigned. It may get another hearing, but it remains kind of in limbo.
We will keep monitoring the situation. And we'll be happy to show up again with all the testimony and read it again if need be. Bonnie, welcome. Tell us your situation about leaf blowers.
Oh, they are incredibly noisy. They last for a long time. I had a situation just yesterday. Actually, I live fairly close to Michael Frawley, but a different landscaper. And it went on for quite a long time. It was shaking the windows in my house. It was so bad. There are children that live next door, and I don't know what they do when this company comes. But it was either two or three. It was more than one leaf blower at a time. And as I was out working in the garden, and it was just awful. When I thought it was over, finally, it was quiet for a moment. They moved to the house on the other side of me, and it continued. I have to wear ear protection in my yard when they are out there, and it's so bad it gives me a headache. It can't be good. So I don't know about writing proposals or laws, but I would be very interested in doing what just an ordinary citizen can do to help this problem. It's so much worse than it used to be.
Yes. So Bonnie, I suggest that you, we had a hearing that lasted 2.5 hours and 30 people submitted testimony in favor of limiting leaf blowers. I suggest that you submit testimony to the city about your issues with the leaf blowers. Jeannie DiBino and I both live on Cleveland Road, the same street Michael Frawley lives on. And yeah, it is not good. I can't work inside my house. I hear the leaf blowers going. And not only that, we live on the Yale side of the street and I hear it from both sides at the same time. Yale has an enormous tractor-driven leaf blower that they have been using incessantly, in addition to using handheld leaf blowers at the Westville Bowl, where there is nobody around. And I don't understand why they would be blowing leaves around there. This makes no sense. And it's so noisy. When we try to go for a walk in the park, we hear noise and we get bombarded with all the things that leaf blowers raise, gasoline smells and viruses and pesticides and animal feces, and I could go on, metals, a lot of things. And it can't be good for anything. It strips the topsoil. It kills the insects with the fast moving air and the heat, and it can cause the users, in addition to hearing loss and brain and heart problems, it can cause them carpal tunnel syndrome and hand arm vibration syndrome. We heard from several doctors about some of the problems, and it is very distressing. And if I were you, I would not be in my garden when they're out there working, because that cloud of dust they raise is not good for your health. It can cause you permanent damage to your hearing and to your lungs, and the dust, the cloud of dust stays around long after they leave.
So tell me, how do I submit testimony to the city? How do I do that? I can write.
Gary, can you confer? Oh, there you go. Alder Winter. Steve just put in the chat, publictestimony@newhavenct.gov. That's
you could simply share, email your thoughts and ask that it be shared with the City Services and Environmental Policy Committee. The City Services Environmental Policy Committee. I can put that in the chat too.
Okay.
And even though the hearing, even though the previous hearing is closed, they can, you know, forward that to us. Attorney Lamar, would you have time sometime later this month where we might be able to get a group together to look at like a text amendment?
I'll try to make some time. Right now things are a little tight, but we're at the beginning of the month, so hopefully before the end of the month we can get something done.
So, Raphael, I hate to impose upon you about one more issue, but this is a health issue for many of us. And I'm wondering if the health department can't do something to alert people about the health dangers of this problem. I don't know if you attended the public hearing, but we had several doctors there testify and others submit letters about some of the many dangers. And we had Chuck Elkins, who is a former EPA noise expert, who testified. And I can send you a link to the public hearing transcript. I'm hoping it will be available on the website sometime. You're muted.
I'm sorry, I saw some of it and I read some of it as well.
Thank you. I was sure you had. And Kathy writes that the health issue is especially bad for the equipment operators. That is correct. They bear the brunt of it, and they are often not aware of the problems they are going to encounter from this stuff. They're standing in the middle of this cloud of dust, and we need to try and promote the good health of everybody who lives in New Haven, especially people who are working. So thank you if you can help us. The Environmental Advisory Council wrote a letter about this. I can share a copy of it with you, listing some of the facts, but I think we need to update it because we learned many facts we did not know about the dangers from these things at that public hearing. I was shocked at how many things I didn't know about them. Jeannie DeBino writes, they don't wear headphones, they breathe in the fumes and more. Yes, the leaf blowers jar their bodies and lead to physiological damage. You are correct. Okay, so we will, Steve, you're going to monitor the situation and alert us if you hear that the hearing is reopened. And hopefully a group will work on helping update the ordinance about noise soon. That would be great. Yes, because as you all know, we cannot regulate air pollution because the EPA leaves that to themselves and they don't allow us to do anything about air pollution, unfortunately. So we will go at this from the noise aspect. All right. I think I've beaten that one to death. So let's go on. I'm going to skip over a couple of things, I think. Yes, we're going to go to city and state sustainability initiatives. And Dawn, you told me that you have an intern who's going to work on an update to the sustainable CT
report. Yeah, I'll be working with a Yale public service, a presidential public service fellow this summer. He's a master's candidate at the Yale School of the Environment. And he'll be working on our recertification to sustainable CT, hopefully among other things. So very excited.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Tell that person that we are happy to do whatever we can to help. And please thank the person in advance for us. Steve, is there any update on the plastic, the thick plastic bag ban issue?
So I talked to Kevin about this, and he said that his reading of the state's plastic bag statute is that it wouldn't allow for a stricter than the state standard ordinance at the local level, and that it grandfathered in existing municipal bag bans. So I've got to follow up with, I've got to take a look at the statute and try to follow up with Lou Birch, because that's not how Lou had read it.
Okay, for anybody who's not familiar with this issue, the state banned the thin plastic bags that stores give out. And so they left open the door for thicker plastic bags that are up to 4 mil in thickness, which would be the thickness of a credit card. And I don't know if you've noticed the sturdier plastic bags that stores are, I think they're selling, some of them are selling them, some of them are giving them out. And the idea is to try to discourage any plastic bags from being provided at stores if we can. Did I get it pretty much right, Steve?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Okay. So,
what would acceptable reusable bags be made out of?
Anything you bring from home that a store doesn't have to provide. Your choice.
I mean, at some point I have to buy my reusable bag, right?
Yes, you do.
I think they're all made of, most of them are made of polypropylene, which is a plastic. So I don't know if any of you know, what would this ban then suggest that those would be made out of? I'm just genuinely curious. I you know, plastic is problematic, as we all know.
Steve?
Yeah, I think that the there's like the thickness of the reusable bags that are sold in stores, which are mostly plastic, and then there's thicknesses that are thicker than what used to be given out, but are still not really like long term reusable, like what the gray bags that Walmart has been giving out. So I think that what some other, I think Norwalk and Hamden have done, one of them has increased it to like 10 mils in thickness, at which point you really are at the thickness of the more durable reusable bags. That's how I understand.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. So now let's see. Kathy, do you want to, we will go on to legislative updates. So as most of you know, the state legislation session ends May the 4th, but anything, any bills that come before it need to be voted on before that. And things are getting tight and not many bills are going to get passed where they are now. But Kathy, have you heard about any bills you're following that are, that have a chance that we should be advocating for?
Yeah. So just so you know, I really focus mostly on energy related stuff for those that are new to this. So there are probably plenty of other environmental bills that I'm not mentioning. But two that really stand out are the home energy bills. And these require evidence of the kind of like a gas mileage when you sell a car. They would require that the energy usage of a residence be made known. There were two separate bills. In the past, this bill has always been combined, but now one of the bills was for residential buildings at point of sale needed to have an energy label. And that is pretty much dead in the water. Unfortunately, it didn't leave committee, and its original committee was insurance and real estate. The other one for renters is going forward, and we really should be fighting for that one. And that's HB 5041. And so I think in New Haven, that's a good thing for us because, you know, we have so many renters. And so it's, I think we should be pushing for that one. I mean, what I think and what people choose to do is a different matter, but I really want to bring that one to your attention. There is also a residential electrification bill that doesn't seem to be going forward, but it's possible that it could go forward with some modifications. And so that is SB 292. And so the other option without modifications is to try and bring that up in the next session. They're getting some help from the Rocky Mountain Institute, which for those of you that don't know is a nationally recognized research institute around energy issues. Another one that's going forward that's not particularly energy is an act concerning medium and heavy duty vehicle emissions standards. That's another one that might be worth pushing for. Right now we have car emission standards, but we don't have that for trucks, and that's basically what that one is about. That's HB 5039. And then let's see, what else do I have here? Okay, and then there's another one that's called there's one that's called SB 0176, and that's about making it possible for commercial and industrial customers. This is about power generation, and especially solar power. It does three things. It would modify existing energy caps involving shared clean energy facilities, which are now capped at a very low amount. I think it's 25 megawatts. This just came out. This just got a joint favorable from energy and technology today. So it modifies the energy caps. It permits the electric companies to own solar power generation facilities. But the exciting part to me is that it also allows commercial and industrial customers to use their entire roof space for generation. Right now, the way that solar is you can only use the amount of roof space that you're that is commensurate with your current energy use. But we have a lot of roof real estate that could be generating a lot more power, renewable power. Let's see if there's any other really interesting ones. I don't want to go on too long. There's some acts that really are more about PURA's ability to have some more oversight around gas pipelines and grid resilience. And so those are more about dockets or or ability to conduct inspections.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, I'm most interested in the ones that we think might go through, or the ones that have been voted out of committee and put on the agenda for the next step. Mary reports that SB 10 would establish 100% zero carbon electricity standard in Connecticut, for Connecticut. So I don't know where that one stands either, but now you've heard about a lot of bills, and I am following a particular one as part of a statewide pesticide coalition, SB 120. It would ban chlorpyrifos on golf courses and ban neonicotinoids for non-agricultural use. They're already banned for agricultural use. And that those two things, which are separate issues, were combined into a bill. And perhaps it is thought if that bill goes forward, it might be combined with a bill about notification for pesticide application near water. And SB 120 has been co-sponsored already by two of our New Haven state reps, Pat Dillon and Juan Candelaria. And I'm hoping some more of our state delegation will sign on to co-sponsor that. And I'm hoping it will get a vote. It's on the Senate, in the Senate file on the agenda, but there's no guarantee anything will get a vote because the session is so short. Anyway, that's what we can say about the legislative session. And if anyone wants, I have an action alert about SB 120. And if I knew how to put a document in this chat, I would do it. But feel free to ask me if anybody wants. And Bonnie, if you want to be on the notification list for future Environmental Advisory Council meetings, please put your email in the chat to me, or send me an email at laurasline@sbcglobal.net. And I see Jeffrey Alpert already left, but if anybody knows how to contact him and thinks he wants to be on our notification list, please let me know. So I think that's all we have to say about federal, state, and city legislation at the moment. I think we've gone on for a long time. One thing was raised at the leaf blower hearing that was to do with noise. Oh, Kathy, what?
I just wanted to point out that all of the ones that I mentioned, except for the one about residential properties at point of sale, are do have the possibility of going forward. They're going forward at present. I just want folks to know one of the reasons why I mentioned the residential at point of sale is that this could be, you know, I know our city deals a lot with issues around properties that are, you know, about absentee landlords and folks that aren't keeping their property up correctly. And that one about the residential properties at point of sale may be a good tool to have in the toolbox when it comes around next time. So I just want to give folks a heads up on that.
Thank you. Okay, great. So at the leaf blower hearing, a gentleman named Andrew Hodes, who is the director of the Jewish cemeteries, asked what we were doing about noise from car radios. And I know we have a lot of noise issues. As I mentioned earlier in this meeting, there was a noise forum hosted by Quiet Communities at the beginning of March that was attended by some 200 people from all across the country. And so I don't know how the city can deal with noise from car radios, which are a distraction to the drivers, to other drivers, and are above the decibel level limits. Does anyone have any comment on how we could address that issue? Okay, well, we will please note anybody who has any power to deal with such issues, that issue has been raised. And I don't know if it's something the Environmental Advisory Council can handle, because my guess is it would have to become illegal for anyone to sell those loudspeakers for cars. And I can't imagine that will happen anytime soon, but I think it's something we should try and advocate for. Okay. Does anybody else have any other issue we should discuss before we adjourn this meeting? Okay. Well, Dawn, thank you very, 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 very much for running logistics. Giovanni, thank you for coming. Jacob, thank you for coming. Nice to meet you. Catherine, thank you for coming. Raphael, thank you for coming. Steve, thank you for coming. All of the citizens of our good city who participate in all these things, thank you for coming. And as I said early in the meeting, if anybody knows of anyone who's interested in joining the Environmental Advisory Council, please suggest that they come to a meeting and see if they are interested in working on any of these issues. Aaron Goodman says, thanks everyone. And we will meet June 1st, if not sooner. Thank you so much, all of you.